Have you guys ever tried explaining football to a little kid? It's almost impossible to make it make sense. I've got two kids myself, and they're always like, Dad, what's this thing on TV for your work? When can we watch some Paw Patrol? Well, meet Future Fans, an innovative brand that helps little kids become big fans by embedding the rules of football into parallel games and activities. The way they teach is super unique and effective. As an example, they have this beanbag toss game with four tries to teach downs in football. I tried it with my kids. They love it. And later they connect those games back to the sport itself through a storybook. Seriously, check out the reviews on this thing. They have 4.9 stars on Amazon. Imagine your kid asking to watch on Sundays with you or being right there alongside you for all the ups and downs with your favorite team. That's what dreams are made of right there. And Future Fans exists to make that a reality. If you want your kid to understand football, Future Fans is for you. And it's only $49.99 right now. Use the code MMQB at futurefans.com to get 10% off and unlock a lifetime of memories starting now. That's $49.99. Use the code MMQB at futurefans.com.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into the latest edition of the Monday Morning Quarterback Podcast. I'm Matt Verderam alongside Gilberto Manzano, coming to you midweek as always. It is now week 15. We have headed for home. We have 4 weeks left in the regular season. I think it pretty much breaks down like this. I have no idea what the hell is going to happen in the AFC. In the NFC, you have two teams that are rolling, one team that is good but currently struggling, and then a whole bunch of teams that, I don't know, maybe they're decent, maybe they're not, all fighting for wild card spots, and then somewhere the Lions factor in, you figure it out. So that is where we lead off. And I think we got to start off. Look, last week we had a lot of games. It came down to it. But I think the game that everybody's still talking about, even days later, happened at Arrowhead Stadium, where the Bills went in and won a wild 20-17 game, a game that by score you'd think, oh, it might have been a little bit boring, but by watching it, certainly was not the case. Of course, ends in very controversial fashion. Kadarius Toney called for being in the neutral zone. Gilberto, I'll let you lead off with this one. What was your biggest takeaway from that football game, Bills, Chiefs, or otherwise?
Yeah, I got to admit first, Matt, that I'm disappointed. I thought we were going to talk Tommy DeVito for the next 40, 50 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever it is. You know, I want to talk Tommy DeVito, but
everybody wants to talk Tommy DeVito. So I'm an Italian from that area of the country. Everybody wants to talk about Tommy DeVito, but we can't dedicate that kind of time.
Yeah, you're true. You're right. And maybe the Giants make the playoffs. Who the heck knows right
They're
now?
They're one game out. They're one game out. It's unbelievable.
It's wild. Sometimes I feel like, why am I spending my time, you know, writing and covering games and analyzing things? And then, oh, here comes the Giants out of nowhere. Oh, the Patriots win on Thursday Night Football. But yeah, going to the Chiefs there, you know, I think people should be very concerned. And I kind of, it's getting to a point where I'm annoyed with the Chiefs. Like get out of my life. But you're not really going to leave my life because, you know, you have Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and Travis Kelce. And then nobody really wants the AFC. Like, I got it. Maybe we'll talk Ravens in a bit, but you know they were impressive to me against the Rams. You know the passing attack woke up, but I still feel like yeah, maybe the Chiefs could get them, and they'll probably get into the Super Bowl again. But this problem with the wide receivers, you know, might cost them. And And we keep thinking they're going to wake up eventually. And then, you know, Kadarius Toney has that foot over the line, and Patrick Mahomes lost it. And maybe that's where I'll get to my point, Matt. I feel like maybe, you know, in some way, Andy Reid and Mahomes wanted to make the spotlight about the officials and take it away from Toney, make it another boneheaded mistake. Yeah, our guy keeps hurting us, but we need him because that's the only options that we have right now. So focus on us being, you know, I'm going to say crybabies right now. We're going to complain about not getting a call. And maybe that could be the thing. But then again, Mahomes apologized the day after. He felt really bad about it. So I don't know what it is. I'm sure it's a part of his frustration about the issues with the wide receivers. It's 2 weeks in a row with the Packer game and the Bills game where the calls don't go their way. They're not used to that, I guess. And it's frustrating. And it's a frustrating season overall. But this is the crew they have, Matt. You've been saying it all along. Like, they can't really do much. So figure out a way to make it happen. I think they'll be fine to get to the playoffs. You know, speaking about races are pretty tight. The AFC West, Matt, one game with the Broncos behind. It's just a weird season. And they're going to be part of the playoffs, and they're going to be maybe fine. Maybe they'll get to the AFC title game, and then who knows what happens after that. But for right now, it's not the same old Chiefs.
No, it's not. They have no margin for error because you can't catch a pass, and they make up for it by taking a million penalties. So, I mean, right now you're to a point where, look, all this controversy about this penalty, it's a penalty. Like, he's brazenly in the neutral zone, okay? And if I have to have one more Chiefs fan in my life who shoots me a DM or a Twitter message, and they're like, well, look at Jaylen Waddle. Look at this guy. Look at that guy. Okay, if I speed on the freeway every day for a month, I'm not going to get ticketed every day. But at some point, I'm going to. And if my defense to the officer's officer, excuse me, I've been going 90 and a 70 every day for a month, and you've yet to pull me over. And frankly, I think it's BS that you've pulled me over today. He'd be like, that's nice. Give me your license and registration. Like, don't line up in the neutral zone, and you're not going to get called for a penalty. And this has been an ongoing theme with the Chiefs. The Chiefs' offensive line leads the league for offensive lines in penalties, mostly because Juwan Taylor is having a historic season worth of penalties. Donovan Smith had a ton, although now he is injured, and I don't know that he's going to get his job back, as Wan'Dale Morris played very well in his place. But that's been an issue. They lead the league in drops. That was on full display. I mean, look, everybody's focused on the Toney play, and rightfully so. But there was a drive in the first half of the game. I think it was Kansas City's third possession. It was early. They had a throw down the seam to Richie James. Would have been to about midfield. Mahomes makes as perfect of a throw as you could make. Hits him right in his hands, drops it. They then pick up a third and 18. They run for two. It's second and eight. He throws a pass to Toney. Toney is wide open, drops it. Third down. MVS is wide open at the 10-yard line. All he's got to do is sit down in the zone, runs right through it. Ball gets thrown behind him. Like, at some point, you are. Now, to your point, Gilberto, I think it's a good one. The AFC is not good. So the Chiefs are sitting there probably thinking, hey, if we just play well for 3 weeks, probably go to the Super Bowl. The problem is, I don't know if they can play well for three quarters. So you have this weird yin-yang. Look, I don't think anybody is sitting there saying Kansas City can't get to or win the Super Bowl. I mean, they're the Chiefs. They are who they are for a reason. And if they got to the Super Bowl, it's one game. I mean, they could go in and win the game. But it is at some point who you are, and who they are is a sloppy, undisciplined mess. I think when Mahomes screaming at the official during the end of the game, and then giving it to Josh Allen to some degree after the game, and then getting into the presser and talking about the officials, 95% of that has nothing to do with the officials. He is just fed up after a year's worth of frustration. But he did look like a whiner, and he did look like a crybaby. And frankly, he was in the moment, and so was Andy Reid. And my question with the Chiefs is, where's any of your accountability with this? Where's the quote from Kadarius Toney? Is he alive? Can he stand in front of his locker? Where's he? Where's MVS? I mean, all we've seen at MVS is him throwing his helmet against the wall. Where's he been all year long? I mean, none of these guys have any accountability. Sky Moore, who's been brutal all year long, where's he? I mean, to me, that's a moment where Kadarius Toney should say, let me go up to the podium. Let me answer some questions, because I'm not going to keep putting it on my quarterback to do it every single day for me. I'm going to be an accountable adult and a professional, and I'm going to get up there and stand up. I have not seen one quote this season from Kadarius Toney. At some point, that's on you, and that's a problem inside the room. They've got four games left. They've got Bailey Zappe, Aiden O'Connell, Jake Browning, and Easton Stick. I mean, if they can't get right over the next month, they're never getting right.
Yeah, it's a pretty easy schedule, and they're going to hold off the Broncos. I feel like it's going to be fine after what you mentioned with the schedule there. But it might get to a point, Matt, where like, and I'm guessing the Pacheco injury did hurt them, but, you know, it's still a game they should have won. But get to a point, maybe, where, you know, if Pacheco's healthy and available, you got Rashee Rice. He's a good player, and you got Kelce. So maybe, you know, you have those three guys, and the other guy, and then if you're Andre, you're saying, all right, anybody who is able to, like, you know, just, you know, not make mistakes and stand behind the line of scrimmage and just kind of be, I can't even say a decoy because it's going to be a terrible player. So just hang around. And if we need a couple of receivers, just be out there, but it's not going your way. Block for sure. Just kind of don't make mistakes and go to Kelce, go to Rice, go to Pacheco, and that's it. Make it simple. Make Mahomes help you out. And you know what's kind of the thing, you know, what I harp on the most, Matt, is, yeah, Mahomes is frustrating. That play was deflating, and I know Mahomes was trying to say it was the greatest play, whatever it could have been for Travis Kelce's, highlight reel at the Hall of Fame, whatever. It's tough to get over that. But they had three more plays after that, Matt. Like, when I saw three plays, three incompletions, you're able to get back into it. And when you're mentally out of it that early, that just told me, okay, they're really frustrated by what's going on here. And yeah, it was a bad look not to talk to Josh Allen and say, hey, thank you for being a part of a good game. You got me on this one. We've beaten you many times, and move on. And to kind of keep whining and complaining about it was a bad look. But you had three more plays to still get something done, and they couldn't do it. That is something you don't really see from the Chiefs. They usually find a way to get it done when people think they're not going to do it. And they had three more plays. So that's, you know, it's I know we could keep spending time on it. It's annoying. And I want to move on from the Chiefs. But like you mentioned, they play the Raiders, they play the Chargers. They're going to be fine there, and we'll see what they do. But the Jaguars, the Dolphins, I don't think they want it either. Maybe the Ravens do, but we'll see what happens in the next month.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. And look, they've got four games to figure it out before they get to the playoffs. Look, I don't doubt they're going to win the division. They'll win the AFC West. I mean, that's not going to be too big of an issue. They have the tiebreaker with Denver, everything else. I mean, they'll handle their business. I think the bigger question with them is how far can they go? And speaking of how far they can go, look, they got a big break on Monday night because the Dolphins lost a game that I don't know that I've ever seen a good team lose in that fashion. In fact, there were a whole lot of stats afterwards, like teams with some crazy winning percentage in that spot. The Titans were now 14 points with less than 3 minutes to go on the road and came back and won without overtime. They scored 15 points in the final 2 minutes, I think it was 50 seconds or 57 seconds, to stun Miami, winning the game 28-27. Miami now drops to 9-4. Like, Tennessee's out of the race. That's beyond the point. But the Dolphins all of a sudden lead the AFC East still by two games, but they fall in the race. Had they won that game, they'd be the number one seed right now. Now they're the number two. They do not win the tiebreaker to Kansas City. The Chiefs beat them earlier this year. So the Dolphins, with one of the hardest remaining schedules, they have the Jets coming up. You would think they'd win that game at home. Then the last 3 weeks of the year, Dallas, at Baltimore, Buffalo. That is not going to be easy, especially for a team that has not won a game against anybody who's good all year long. I'll start here. I think, look, I don't want to overreact to one game because one game is unto itself. Tennessee basically gave them three defensive touchdowns in that game, and including one legitimate, like a pick six, another one of the most hilarious muff punch you'll ever see in your life. I don't know what that was inside the five. And then there was on the next offensive play for Tennessee, there was that pitch that went behind Henry. The Titans aren't good. They were on the road. They didn't have Jeffrey Simmons. They gave up 21 defensive points and won the game. I don't know what's going on with Tyreek Hill and his ankle and whether or not Hill's going to be able to be 100% healthy here moving forward. He certainly was limited on Monday night where he came back, but he would sit out a lot of plays. When that offense doesn't have him, it doesn't work. It is a completely different team. Now, obviously, look, you take anybody's best player out, it's going to drastically change who they are, but in that case, it really changes who they are. They are night and day. And so, if he's limited in any capacity, they are now limited in a very real capacity. And I look at them and say, you know, they better hope Dallas beats Buffalo this weekend. Because if they don't, the Bills two games after that are the Chargers and the Patriots. They're not losing those two games at this time of the year. I know they've made a habit all year losing to bad teams. I would be floored if they lost to Easton Stick or Bailey Zappi. Okay, so that could be a thing where if Buffalo beats Dallas, they're 10-6 going into that Miami game. And if Miami just splits with Dallas and Baltimore, that game's for the division. And Buffalo has worn Miami out for years. They killed them earlier this year. That loss, I think we have this temptation. Let's go, well, it's a one-off, it's a fluke. That could be a season-changing 3 minutes in Miami.
Yeah, it's not a good idea, not a good thing that we're talking about the Dolphins right now. I was thinking, Matt, like we shouldn't talk about the Dolphins until they play the Cowboys, the Bills, and the Ravens. Like they have these terrible teams.
Yep.
They're gonna handle business, and then we're gonna find out are they for real because they lost to the Chiefs, they lost to the Eagles, lost to the Bills. You know, it might be pretenders, but we won't know until later in the year. No, we're talking about them right now because they blew a game against a team that had 4 wins going to your house, and they were down 14 points with 4:34 to go, and you somehow lost that game. Like, Matt, I was watching that game, and I was covering it for us, for SI, and they show Dan Marino in his nice suite. They're up by 14. He doesn't look really happy. It's kind of like he had an idea, like this franchise finds a way to blow it. He makes his way down the field to maybe for like a walk-off victory, and he kind of shakes hands. They're down by 1 point. Tua's on the field. Like, what the heck happened? Well, they scored. They had a drive that took 26 seconds. They had this terrible coverage, but defensively, I don't know what Vic Fangio was doing. And even Mike McDaniel, we could get on him for his play calling. But in credit to Will Levis, he was great on Monday Night Football, making it work with D-Hop and Derrick Henry. And he's got to protect his body better. He's a big dude, but he's taking a lot of hits out there. But a good player with a bright future. But I go back to Tua. Like Tua, that was your time to quiet some critics and say, okay,
yeah,
Tyreek Hill, you know, and go with Waddle. I know that, you know, actually, like when you think about it, after Waddle, they don't really have too much when Hill's not on the field. But the running game was going. You got Mostert and A-Chan. Like, you were making it work, and he couldn't find a way to do it. But, you know, you needed to win this game because of the schedule we just laid out here. And, you know, and honestly, I don't think the Dolphins are going to do anything. They don't seem to evolve, to make adjustments. They keep focusing on Tyreek Hill, which is a big problem for teams to handle. But if you take away Tyreek Hill, or he's not the hero, like, odds are they're not going to win that game. And, you know, I was trying to look at the, you know, the Dolphins. You know, Dolphins have this kind of reputation of not beating teams with a winning record. So I'm like, okay, let me check back. Which team?
Yeah.
So I wanted to look back, and I was like, okay, which team currently has a winning record that the Dolphins have beaten? And it's the Broncos. They lost 70-20 to the Dolphins, and they're the only team that the Dolphins have beaten that currently has a winning record. So that tells you a lot about the soft schedule, and they still couldn't beat the Titans.
And the Broncos were a raging tire fire at that time in the season. Listen, I don't even need to spend too much time on this. Like right now, before we move on, because we're going to get to the NFC here in a second. We'll talk about the Eagles, Cowboys, and we'll get into our games for the week. I don't know how you feel. We haven't talked about this yet. I think there's three teams in the AFC that are worth anything. Like if they got to the Super Bowl, they could win it. The Chiefs, the Ravens, the Bills. Those three teams for me. Jacksonville can't stop a nosebleed. I'm sorry. Can you imagine like Jacksonville in the Super Bowl trying to stop the Niners? We saw that in Jacksonville. How'd that go? Like their pass defense is atrocious. Do you know how hard it is to get lit up by Jake Browning and Joe Flacco in consecutive weeks? I mean, with all due respect to both men, that takes some work. And by the way, I don't want to hear one Bengals fan who's like, well, Browning lit up the Colts. Bro, he threw for 150 yards on screen passes. Okay? Now, the Colts couldn't defend the screen. And kudos to Zach Taylor and Callahan, but like, come on now. I mean, Jake Browning looked like Joe Montana against Jacksonville. The Chiefs, for all their flaws, have an excellent defense. They have Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Andy Reid, Isaiah Pacheco, Rashee Rice, and a good offensive line. Like, I will say this for the Chiefs. They could lose any game they play because they could just beat themselves. But if they don't beat themselves, they probably have the highest ceiling of anybody in the AFC, in my opinion. Buffalo's right there. Really the same thing. Are they going to beat themselves? Is Allen going to throw two picks in a game that he can't afford? You know, I mean, I think Buffalo defensively is good. McDermott, for all of his flaws managing games, is a good defensive coach. Now, they have issues in terms of on the boundary. If you have good receivers, you can really go after them. Some of that because of injury with White being out, Milano being out, stuff like that. But the Bills are there. And then the Ravens, look, got to give them credit. I mean, defensively, they've been very good all year. You know, and in a game where the Rams scored a bunch of points, the Ravens overcame that. You know, and the Ravens have their own flaws. I mean, you look at them and go, okay, well, can they throw the ball when they're going to have to throw the ball? I mean, can they really do it without Mark Andrews? I mean, they have their own issues. They have injuries too. But to me, I don't know if you feel differently, those three teams are the three teams that to me can get to the Super Bowl and could have a day where they could win the Super Bowl. I don't think anybody else in that conference can do it.
Yeah, you're spot on. Unless the Dolphins somehow beat the Cowboys, the Bills, and the Ravens at the end of the season and then change my mind, then, you know, right now I don't see it. And then with the Jaguars, you lay it out perfectly. I don't need to go too much into that. And, yeah, and it's funny because the Bills are not even currently in the playoffs right now. They're, like, actually, like, 11th
or 12th. They're 11th. And it's unbelievable. I mean, can you, by the way, here before we move on, because I thought about this morning. I don't know why I thought about this. So Denver plays at Detroit this weekend. Okay, now Detroit is not playing good football, but let's say Detroit wins that game. They're favored to do it. They should do that. Let's say they do it. Denver's last three games are New England at home, the Raiders, and the Chargers. Like, decent chance they get to 10-7. Can you imagine if the Bills don't make the playoffs because they couldn't count? I mean, that really might come. Like, if you're the Bills, boy, you better win out because they're going to lose every breaker. They're going to lose a breaker to the Bengals. To the Broncos, Texans and Colts on conference tiebreak, same with the Browns. So I still think Buffalo's got to win out to make the playoffs, unless, which this is the ultimate scenario, and I'm a nerd with this stuff, so stick with me for a minute. Can you imagine if, let's say they lose to Dallas and they win their next two games, okay, so you go into the last week 10-6. Miami loses two of their next three, which God knows that's possible, and they're 10-6. And that game is win, and you're the AFC champion, lose, you're out. You know what that game's going to look like? The desperation in that game. And then meanwhile, like, Denver's sitting there with popcorn because they're in because Buffalo couldn't count actually, they counted to 12. Should have stopped at 11. I mean, the AFC is going to be unbelievable week 18. Where you're looking at all these games going, this team could either be the 3 seed or not even be in the playoffs. We're going to find that. I mean, it's even the AFC South now. Like, Jacksonville's opened the door, you know? Houston's a game back. Indy's a game back. I mean, I think Jacksonville holds on, but it's not crazy. It's not impossible. I mean, it's just, it's absolutely wild stuff.
I know you asked me for three, but the more I think about it, maybe the Bills, like, if they get in, might be the best team in the AFC. They have probably have the strongest chance. And the one thing about the Ravens, I was really impressed with the passing attack in the Rams game. Isaiah Likely stepped up. OBJ turned back the clock. Yep. Zay Flowers, he's a stud. But the Kyle Hamilton injury does concern me. He makes a big difference for the Ravens. And then maybe the Rams kind of put out the blueprint for how to beat a Mike McDonald defense. Like, it's all about disguises and confusing you in the passing game. They just said, all right, we'll run the ball many times. And then for some reason, Sean McVay kind of went away from the rushing attack in that game. But,
right.
You know, I don't trust the Ravens. And I feel like maybe with the Bills, I want to. But I also seen their postseason movie as well. So maybe I'm getting too ahead of myself. But it's such a wild year that if they find a way to beat all these tiebreakers and all these conference records and just win out, they have a good chance as anybody else.
It's, like I said, for me, can't in any order you want to put them, Kansas City, Baltimore, Buffalo, those three. All right, let's get to the NFC. So on Sunday night, we all sat down and, well, you and I were working, but the rest of the country sat down and watched Dallas absolutely beat the hell out of Philadelphia. I guess we watched it, too. We just had to do it while also earning a paycheck. Dallas wins, what, 33-13, I believe, was the final score of the game. Didn't even really feel that close. I mean, Philadelphia didn't score an offensive touchdown. They had the scoop and score with Jalen Carter. Prescott, numbers weren't crazy, but didn't have to be. I mean, they were in control all game. They really had no reason to push down on the gas pedal. They win going away. Dallas is now the 2 seed in the NFC. Philadelphia is the wild card team. Now, it should be noted, the Eagles' schedule going forward is not hard. Okay, they got Seattle on a Monday night in Seattle, easily the toughest game left. They got the Giants and the fighting Tommy DeVito's there twice. And then the Cardinals. Dallas has Miami and Buffalo over the next couple of weeks, got Detroit, and then I believe they finish it up with Washington. So, Dallas has a lot of work to do if they're going to hold on to that divisional lead via the tiebreak. That all said, what is the bigger story to you coming out of that game? Is it the dominance of Dallas, or is it that the Eagles just got absolutely trounced the second week in a row here?
I'm going to go with the Cowboys because, like you mentioned, the Eagles, soft schedule. It might be tough in Seattle, but if it's Drew Locke, and even the Seahawks have been kind of bad this year. If they win that one, they're going to be fine, But then again, Tom DeVito does not want to lose, so maybe I'm going to change my mind as I keep talking. But the Eagles should be fine. I think they're very fatigued from that gauntlet of that 5-game stretch where they play, the Cowboys twice, they played the Chiefs, they played the Bills, so it was in the 49ers, so that was a tough stretch there. And they kind of felt like, all right, we got to go to Seattle, let's just kind of have the Cowboys have this one here, and let's move on. it's not the best way to do it, but I think they'll be fine. But with the Cowboys, it's kind of like this, and I'm a little hesitant. Like I wrote about this, like I kind of want to believe in them. They're good at home. They finally beat a good team, but a good team that kind of wasn't really in it because of what I just laid out with the gauntlet they had. So, you know, I got to see more from the Cowboys. They are on my radar, but I wouldn't disagree. Somebody said Dak Prescott should be the MVP, you know, top two, or maybe even Mike McCarthy could be coach of the year candidate because there's like 10 names on that list, I feel like. So I'm okay with that. They're doing well in the regular season, but I got to see them, you know, go to Buffalo, win at Buffalo. I think they also play in Miami, Miami, beat Detroit too at the end of the year. So keep winning these games. But even then, I feel like, well, you've been good before. You know, Dak Prescott was the number one seed his rookie year. They won the division a couple of times with Dak, and they always flame out in the postseason. But I'm liking this team, though. I feel like Mike McCarthy has done a good job with the offense. CeeDee Lamb's a stud. Tony Pollard has been okay, but it's okay. It's an okay rushing attack. The defense is pretty good. You got a kicker who won't miss, Brandon Aubrey. What a machine of weapon they have right there. So it seems like a good year for the Cowboys to get to the NFC title game. That's about it because they had the 49ers in that conference there. So I want to buy in more, but I'm a little hesitant. Like you know, with the Lions and the Dolphins, bro, because they're kind of pretenders. The Cowboys are not pretenders, but I'm not even sure if they're a legit Super Bowl contenders. They're kind of that weird middle where like I want to see more from them.
All right, so I'm going to go the other way on this. Like, I actually think, like, the Eagles at this point, and I have been somebody, I picked them to beat the Niners. Like, I am a big believer in, hey, what's your track record? What have you shown me? They've shown me that they know how to win games. They're resourceful. They get it done. I'm not sitting here saying they can't win the Super Bowl. I'm not going there. I think that's an overreaction. What I don't think is an overreaction is their pass defense has been atrocious all year long, and it is coming to a head now. Like, you got to figure something else out here. You can't continue to play the way you're playing. It's a disaster. They are getting cooked over the middle of the field. Teams are doing whatever they want. Bringing in Kevin Byard has not fixed that problem. You know, Byard, look, he's not the player he once was. You thought, maybe a savvy vet comes in, he can kind of stabilize things. Hasn't happened. I kind of look at Philadelphia in the same way I look at Kansas City. Although I think Philadelphia's problems are probably bigger in the sense that they're not so much self-inflicted. They're just not, the talent's not there right now down the middle of the field. I look at both those teams as like, I wouldn't want to see them in January because you know that if you get their best game, like they're a problem. The problem is you're not seeing their best games right now. Now, Kansas City can clean some of that stuff up. They just haven't. Take from that what you will. Philadelphia, I don't know how much they can clean up here without major, major changes. I mean, maybe you start playing a little bit different schematically. Maybe you start looking at this and going, all right, you know what? We're not going to be able to just sit in these zone coverages that we love to sit in. We're going to have to do some different things. I mean, you've got Slay and Bradbury. Get in man, change it up, do something different. I think, you know, that's where I sit on Philly. Dallas, to me, I got to be fair to them. I picked them to go to the Super Bowl for the year. I still don't love them against the Niners, but I also will say, though, man, like everybody's just going to dismiss them. They're good enough. If they give the Niners their best effort, I wouldn't be shocked if they beat them. The Niners, this is the ultimate year of just going, I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen. I think the Niners are the best team in football. I also saw the Niners lose three games straight, and I saw them get boat raced at home by Cincinnati, and they were healthy for that game. Like, they got killed in that game. I saw Minnesota take it to them on Monday Night Football. The Browns game, to me, I'll put aside. That was in the pouring rain. It was a weird game. Fine. But, like, the Niners are not infallible either. I mean, I think this is one of those years. Do I think they're the best team? Yeah. I also think, man, in January and February, this is just going to come down to like who's healthy and who's hot. Who just has one of those? Remember years ago, actually, ironically, they beat the Niners, the Ravens in the playoffs with Flacco when they won the Super Bowl. And it was just one of those things where you're like, I don't even know that they're that good, but they just got hot as hell and they were healthy and like they just blew through everybody. I think that might be one of these things this year. And so I'm not ruling Philly out, but Philly's got to fix this train wreck that they've got going on right now defensively. I mean, you can't win in the playoffs. It's the same thing I was saying about Jacksonville. When you're a bottom five pass defense, which both the Eagles and the Jags are, like at some point, man, you're not going to be able to keep up against really good teams.
And Matt, sorry, Matt, real quick.
Go ahead.
It's just been such a weird year for us just to assume the 49ers are going to roll into the Super Bowl because we just saw, you know, the Giants win, you know, against the Packers. We just saw the Titans beat the Dolphins. We saw the Bears beat the Lions. We've seen so many upsets, Matt. Let's get into the point where, like, I want to end on some action here. So for our staff picks, I had like three upsets this week where I have no faith in it, but I'm just going to just throw something out there. So it's been such a weird year for us to assume it's going to be an easy cakewalk for the for the 49ers.
It's just a weird, weird year. And you know, sometimes you get seasons like this where you look at it and go, I don't know. I mean, I know we're paid to know. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, SI is paying us real money to give expert analysis. Here's my expert analysis. I have no idea. You know why? Because the NFL doesn't have any idea. These teams have no idea. I mean, like, for an example, okay, this weekend, Kansas City plays at New England. I could easily see the Chiefs winning 35-3. I could also see the Chiefs losing 16-10 with five turnovers. I mean, who the hell knows? Who the hell knows? Speaking of who the hell knows, let's talk about gambling. Let's get into the Week 15 lines. SISportsbook.com, as always, for the lines, most up-to-date odds that you'll need for the NFL and all the other sports as well. All right, let's get into it. Let's start with a couple of Saturday games. I'm actually going to start with the Saturday evening game, which is Denver at Detroit, the Lions laying 4.5. The Lions have not played well as of late. They are 9-4. Great record, still in firm control of the NFC North. But not playing particularly good football. Lost to the Bears last week. Easily could have been swept by them. Got boat raced on Thanksgiving. Barely held on against the Saints a couple weeks ago. I mean, it's been a month now. The Broncos, on the other hand, hard charging. Won 6 of their last 7. Granted, it has been in very odd ways a lot of these games. I mean, turnovers like crazy. It's been weird. Do you like the Lions to win? Do you like them to cover the 4.5 number?
I like the Lions to win, but I like the Broncos to cover the spread there with the 4.5 you just mentioned. And, you know, they have a good defense. I think this Broncos defense could, you know, contain the Lions offense, and they weren't even that good last week. So I get it. Jared Goff can't play outdoors, and that worked out for the Bears, and they have a good running game, but it's been quiet for the offense too, and they have a whole lot of problems defensively. But, you know, if it's a low-scoring game, maybe the Broncos have a chance. I just don't see them having enough firepower at the end to keep up. You know, obviously that was a great pass from Russell Wilson to Cortland Sutton against the Chargers. But if Sutton's not getting the ball every play, they're not going to really do much offensively for the Broncos. So give me the Lions to do something. But I'm very concerned about this team, man. Like, I wrote one of my takeaways last week. Like, they feel like a one-and-done team. They feel like a team that's going to be content to finally win a division title after, you know, 30 years. Okay, we did our job. We changed the fortunes of the franchise, but I think we're good right here. I think we were set at winning division, which is not even a guarantee with the Packers. Well, the Packers lost, and well, I guess the Vikings, right? So they're only 2 games behind, and they play each other twice. So, you know, I just got to see something better from that defense. I don't think we will. You know, McNeil's on IR. They haven't really been the same since that Baltimore game when they got crushed there. So bad defense. They couldn't even get a fourth down, which is that was a Dan Campbell special. They're running out of magic there too. So yep. A whole lot of problems, but I think they'll get it done in Detroit, in the comfortable environments of indoors.
Yeah, look, I like Detroit to win the game. I'm with you. I think it's like a field goal game. I would say, though, this. I would probably not touch this game because I could see this being one of these games too. The Lions went like 30-13. I have a very weird feeling with Denver. To me, two things can be true at once. I give them all the credit in the world for fighting back and getting to where they are. And I think they're going to win 10 games. I do. I think they're going to win those last 3. I also look at Denver. I'm like, how is this team winning football games? I mean, Wilson is throwing like bubble screens and then like Hail Marys to Cortland Sutton. And that's pretty much the offense. And defensively, they've played much, much better, no question. But I look at them and it's like, I don't know, man. Like they win in all these really bizarre ways, you know, like, I can't really fully buy in. The Lions have struggled a lot, but do I think the Lions are better than the Broncos? Yeah. And they're at home. I think they win the game. I think they win. If I had to pick a one way or the other on the line, give me the Broncos to cover, but I think Denver does win. Or Denver doesn't lose. I think Detroit wins. All right. Another Saturday game in the afternoon. Steelers at the Colts. Colts laying 2.5. I will go first on this one. I like the Colts to win and to cover. Has anyone watched the Steelers the last couple of games? Mitch Trubisky looks like if you pulled a fan out of the stands and told him, hey, you want a contest, go try to play quarterback. Trubisky, one of the all-time unintentional burns from a broadcaster. So they're playing Thursday night against New England. Well, I shouldn't say that. They were on the field Thursday. Whether or not they were playing is an entirely different story. And they're on the field Thursday night, and Trubisky throws just a mind-numbing pick. Like, has to see that a blitz is coming. They don't even disguise it. And Trubisky just wails the ball into coverage, and Peppers picks off, runs back to like 10-yard line. And they're showing I believe they're showing the replay. And Kirk Herbstreit says, well, you know, that's been the book on Trubisky. You know, if you could just change the picture on him after the snap, you know, he has a tough time figuring it out. Man's been in the league for 7 years. The book is just to show him a different coverage? I mean, first of all, Kirk's not wrong, but my God, you can't read anything 7 years into your career. It's not like the Pats were doing novel, groundbreaking stuff here. I mean, there's you know, shading the safety and rotating the guy over. There's no way I'm picking Pittsburgh in this game. Zero. Give me the Colts to win by 10 points.
Yeah, and I just remembered, Matt, that when we did our backup QB rankings in the offseason, some people gave us crap, I think, about not having Trubisky higher. I'm like, this guy play? Yeah, it's not going well. So, yeah, he can't beat Kenny Pickett. He can't beat Mason Rudolph. He lost his job in Chicago. Yeah, he had a nice stint as a backup for Josh Allen in Buffalo where he reinvented himself. Yeah, right, whatever. But
he sat there. Oh, my God. I'll never forget being at the Combine that year. And I can't tell you how many people came up to me, whether people who worked in the league or agents, and have a conversation at the bar. And be like, I'll tell you what, you know, a lot of talk about, you know, Trubisky and how he's rehabilitated himself and the money he's going to get. And I said the same thing then that I say now. Did anyone actually see Mitchell Trubisky in Buffalo? Did he do anything? And the answer to that question, by the way, is no, because while he was in Buffalo for that 1 year, would you like to take a guess at how many passes Mitchell Trubisky threw that season for the Bills?
I'll say two.
Man threw eight passes. Eight passes. And we had to listen. And by the way, in those eight passes, he threw a pick. Like, and we had to sit here and listen to people that offseason. Oh, you know, he's a hot commodity. He's going to be a big free agent. He's going to be a great signing. Mitchell Trubisky is not good in any capacity as a starter or as a backup. And yet you have these people who, honest to God, are like, you know what? I think he can go out and win a game. Matt Nagy should be put in the Hall of Fame for winning a division with Mitchell Trubisky. Nagy is treated like he was a terrible head coach, and I'm not saying he was good. He went to the playoffs 2 times in 4 years with Mitchell Trubisky. They should waive the 5-year voting period. They should put him in tonight. That's impossible. It's unbelievable how bad he stunk up the joint. So, yes, Colts hammer the 2.5. I'll live with eating 2.5 points.
Yeah, I got you going there. And that was all Chicago defense, by the way. But, yeah, give me the Colts, too. And not even for football analysis. I just don't want to see the Steelers in the postseason. Like you mentioned a few weeks back, Matt, like they'll get in. They'll probably get steamrolled by 30 points. And
kill.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't want to see them.
I mean, oh, my God. That's what I want to see. I want to see Pittsburgh and Buffalo in a playoff game. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Listen, it drives me nuts when I feel like people don't have honest conversations. Like, I'm wrong all the time. That's fine. But when you get these people who you know damn well are just like, hey, you know, Trubisky, are you just friends with like somebody who's in a circle or something? Because he can't play. He's not good. He's never been good. Let's all move on. Let's get to the third game here with two quarterbacks who actually can play football at an NFL level. The Cowboys and the Bills. Best game on Sunday. I don't think there's any question about that. Cowboys on the road trying to keep their 5-game winning streak alive, or actually extend it to 6, I should say. The Bills at 7-6. We've talked a lot about their predicament. They might have to win out to make the playoffs. Maybe could lose a game, but then they're probably relying on a lot of help elsewhere. The Bills are favored by 2.5 coming home after that win in Kansas City. Do you like Dallas to win and pull the upset up outright, or do you think the Bills win this game?
This is such a tough game to pick. Like, I could see the same old Cowboys coming back out in Buffalo, and the Bills are rolling right now. But we're not rolling too much, but they're doing enough. But I'm going to take a chance on the Cowboys here. They've been playing great at home. You know, they've been scoring points. I know that defense got lit up by Seattle, but they made some adjustments. Shout out to Dan Quinn there against the Eagles. So I'm okay with the defense. They got a great kicker in these cold weather environment to maybe win a couple field goals, win with a field goal, that's whatever it is. So complete team. Prescott is doing well. You know, McCarthy is doing everything. Maybe he'll ruin it with some mismanagement at the end. Who knows? But I'm just concerned about the old Cowboys coming back, but I'm going to give them a chance here. Give me the Cowboys to cover too.
I'll tell you what, McCarthy and McDermott at the end of this game could set up for some all-time clock management situations. I like Dallas in this game. Listen, I love what the Bills are doing. And we just talked about it. We both feel like they're a top three team in the conference, could win the Super Bowl, all that stuff. Problem is this. I think Dallas can throw the ball all over them in this game. All over them. Dallas is a great line. They can get outside. And the problem I think that Buffalo is going to face is Dallas can cover on the outside with Bland and not with Diggs, who's out for the year, with Gilmore. So I like Dallas in this game. I think it's a good matchup for the Cowboys. Look, wouldn't be surprised if the Bills win. Not saying they can't win the game, but look, let's also have an honest conversation about Buffalo here. That game in Kansas City, that was more about Kansas City just flat out just killing themselves at the end of that football game. I mean, the Chiefs dominated that game defensively for the last three quarters. The Bills only had, for the entire game, not just the last three, for the entire game, 4.5 yards per play. I mean, that's like dead last in the league type stuff. The Chiefs outgained them. They outrushed them yards per attempt. They outgained them in the air yards per attempt. They had more first downs. I mean, the Chiefs did just about everything. They were better on third down. The Chiefs did everything to win that game, except for the fact, which has been their story all year long, they turned the ball over twice, and they took some critical penalties. I don't think Dallas is going to be as generous. And frankly, Dallas right now is playing better than the Chiefs. Are they better than the Chiefs over the course of an 18-game year? I don't know. But right now they are. Right now, they certainly are. I like Dallas to win by a field goal or so. Don't think it's a blowout. I think it's a very good game. Dak's playing great, man. He's got my vote as MVP right now. So I will go with Dallas on the road. I think your point about the kicking game is an excellent one. All right, let's go to Sunday Night Football. Really interesting game here. I wonder if we'll agree. Ravens on the road, taking on the Jags. Jags losers of two in a row here. Lawrence, of course, a little hampered by the ankle. He threw three picks in Cleveland. They lose that game, 31-27. The Ravens coming off that game where we talked about earlier, 37-31 in overtime over the Rams. Baltimore, despite being on the road, is favored by 3.5. Do you think that Baltimore goes in there and wins and or covers?
I'll say yeah, but I'm hesitant because I'm trying to remember what I had on one of our picks, because we get asked to pick all these games.
I know, believe me, three or four different times. Who knows?
But I think I might have said Jaguars cover, but Ravens win. But I'm going to change my mind if I did. Give me Baltimore to win and beat that spread. And like you mentioned earlier, this Jaguars defense is not that good, or not good at all, I guess to say. And they are at home. They're going to be a little desperate. They lost two games in a row. But Trevor Lawrence being on one good leg, no Christian Kirk, a bunch of other injuries, like, this team is kind of going backward right now, so give me the Ravens to win. I am concerned about no Kyle Hamilton. Let's see if, you know, they step it up with Roquan Smith and the defensive front does their job there. But they're still a good, very good defense. So give me the Ravens, and yeah, maybe an upset could occur, but just Jaguars just don't look like they're in sync right now.
So this is where I'm going to take a stab at this, because the season's just nuts. I think Jacksonville's going to win this game. Here's why. Jacksonville, like, it's one of those things. At some point, you better win. And they're going to know if the Colts beat the Steelers. And since we both agree that Mitchell Trubisky is basically a quarterback who should be playing at like Southern Miss at the moment, I think the Jags are going to know. Like, if they lose this game, they're looking at a tie atop the AFC South. It is in Jacksonville. I think they're desperate to win this football game. And I think schematically, it actually is not a bad matchup for Jacksonville. The one thing you can do with the Jags is throw the ball over the field against them. But Baltimore is not the team that's going to do that typically. Obviously, they have, you know, every once in a while. But I think this is a game where, you know, Baltimore's going to want to run the ball and play that kind of a style. And it suits Jacksonville. The other thing is, Baltimore leads the league in sacks. They get a lot of pressure. Jacksonville's game on offense is to get the ball out quick. And so I think Jacksonville actually matches up pretty well in this game. And sometimes you just look at it too and go, look, one team's just really got to win this game. They have to win this game. Where Baltimore, they don't have to. I mean, you'd love to, and especially in the course of fighting for this number one seed, you'd love to. Because, look, if we're looking at the number one seed, objectively, we laid out the Chiefs' schedule earlier. I don't know if they're going to lose another game. They certainly could. I mean, they've given enough away. But are you actually picking them to lose a game against Bailey Zappi, Aiden O'Connell, Jake Browning, and Easton Stick? Like, probably not, right? So if they went out, they hold all tiebreakers because they've only lost two games in the conference. Everybody else has lost more than that, or the Chiefs have beaten the team heads up. My point is, if you're Baltimore, it's an important game, because if you lose this game, your next game is Christmas night at San Francisco. Not easy. Then you come home and play Miami. Not easy. Like, So for Baltimore, it's big in that regard, but the division is still theirs. For Jacksonville, you're talking almost about like survival here at some point. I like Jacksonville to win this game. I think it's a great game. They played last year. Came down to the final seconds. Jacksonville won at home. I think it's a similar game. I'll take the Jags to win and obviously to cover the spread, although at that point, just bet money line. Monday Night Football, Eagles at Seahawks. Seahawks reeling. Eagles somewhat reeling. Eagles favored by 3.5. Gilberto, question simple. Who stops reeling?
Yeah, go with Philly. I'm taking the Eagles here. And I think it's getting to a point, okay, we let one get away. We're sluggish in Dallas. You know, we should be recovered now. It's going to Seattle, hostile environment. But, you know, I don't know. I know besides that one game against Dak Prescott and the Cowboys where they kept it close, they showed some pride and they're okay. Other than that, it's been a terrible month for them. They lost four straight. And I think I found out that's the first time ever in the Pete Carroll era where they lost four consecutive games. So this is a weird time for the Seahawks. And honestly, man, if they lose this one, five consecutive games, I don't want to see you in the playoffs, Seattle. You had your moment. You're not going to do anything in the postseason. Let the Rams or the Packers have their moment. But give me the Eagles here and make it five in a row for Seattle.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think you said it well. Look, I don't know Geno Smith if he's going to be healthy, even if he is. I don't know if it matters. I think Philadelphia comes out, gets right in this game. I don't think, just like I said about the Chiefs, I don't think Philly loses another game regular season. I think they handle their, both teams have really easy schedules. I think both teams get right now in the playoffs. Who knows? We'll see, right? I mean, that's when, you know, your flaws kind of come to the forefront. We'll see if they can mask them enough. But I like both those teams to win out, and I think Philadelphia will do so starting in Seattle. And I think for Seattle, look, at that point, five straight losses. You can't rule them out in the NFC, but it doesn't look great. It doesn't look like they're going to be making the playoffs. And, of course, they also were swept by the Rams. So the Rams have that breaker over them, which is key. The Rams schedule is not that hard going forward. So I think Seattle probably finishes third in the West. And I think the Eagles get right here. I think they win this game. They get right. And they go play after this, the Giants twice and the Cardinals. You're feeling pretty good about that. Unless Tommy DeVito, chicken cutlets himself over there. Just dicing it. It's so funny to watch his family in the crowd. Because that's like my entire family. I feel like it's just, it's like watching my family celebrate. But in any event, all right, what's going on in your life? What's happening here as we get closer and closer to the holidays? And, of course, by the way, everybody listen, happy Hanukkah, as we're in Hanukkah now.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mentioned last week that I have three siblings who have birthdays in December. So tonight, you know, it's my brother's birthday. So, you know, me being the old guy, I got to go on a weeknight and go hang out with him for a bit. And it's not gonna be nothing wild, but, you know, probably, you know, have a couple beers and maybe some food and have a good time with the family. But and I think I also have like our friend's Christmas thing on Friday night. So, you know, some gatherings this weekend, but nothing too chaotic, I feel like.
Well, happy birthday to your brother. So a couple things real quick. So I've got a Christmas party at our house on Saturday night. And every year since I've been in college, my buddy and I, who now we live 800 miles apart since I moved, but we had this tradition. We both love Christmas immensely. And so it was like, man, you know what stinks? Every year for Christmas, you get stuck hanging out with all your extended family, which half those people you don't even like, at least in my experience. And so we were like, you know, it'd be great if Christmas was longer. So we jokingly came up with this idea, Christmas Eve, which was the 23rd, obviously. And we had this rule, like, you got to dress nice, and you got to bring something. And we dressed up, like, we had my family's lake house, we would use it, and we would decorate that thing to the hilt. And so it started as a joke, and now, except for the year with the pandemic, it's happened every single year for, like, 15 years. And up until last year, it'll be resumed this year, I'll be going back to New York, but last year, we didn't do it. My buddy couldn't make it out. He's got a young son, and his wife, they just couldn't make it. So I was bummed out. My wife was like, listen, let's just have a Christmas party. You know, and it's not the same thing. It's not all you and your family and friends. But like, let's do it. Like, all right. So we did it. And my wife, Stephanie, likes to host. And so we had about 30 people over at the house. And we had a really nice time. Well, despite the fact we're doing Christmas Eve this year, Steph was like, I want to do it again. I want to have another Christmas party. So we're doing it on the 16th, the Saturday. She is currently upstairs cooking 6 pounds of short ribs to put into stuffed shells. I'm making a 10-pound ham. You drizzle it in syrup, and then you pack brown sugar on it, and you cook it for like 4 hours, and the syrup like basically melts into the ham. We're having like 40 people this time. And we've hired a babysitter to take care of all the kids in our basement. We're going to have like a party for the kids in the basement. We have a full-blown bar this time. It's a sideshow, man. Every time I go out, one of us is like, hey, we need like 9 more things. And so this party's, I think, going to cost us like a full paycheck at this point. But it's worth it. It's going to be fun. Have everybody over at the house. Have enough food to last us a lot. I think 3 different people are bringing charcuterie boards. So if you like cheese and sausage and crackers, look out. Because we're going to have enough to last us till next Christmas. But I can't wait. I love this time of year. And even though it's a little insane right now, it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a lot of work, but it should be worth it seeing all your friends and loved ones. And just one question, you know, what happened to December 23rd? It was Christmas Eve, right? There you go.
Yeah, Christmas Eve. So we're doing it. We're doing it this year. It's going to be a Saturday night. I'm going to New York a week from today. I'm driving back with my daughter Maisie, and then my youngest Genevieve's flying with my wife. So we're going to have it at my parents' house this year. There's a lot of history to Christmas Eve. My buddy proposed to his now wife there 1 year. It started legitimately as a joke. And it became, and then like everybody who went to the first one was like, hey, you got to do this again next year. And then it just got bigger and bigger. Like we did 1 year, we bought big, big like lawn inflatables. And we blew them up in the house. And it was ridiculous. Like we had like a Christmas forest in the house. I mean, it's grown exponentially. Everybody brings a gift for everybody. It's just, that's a little bit more of a intimate gathering where it's like 10 to 12 people. The Christmas party is going to be like, we're going to keep going until somebody passes out, and then we're going to call an ambulance for them, and then keep going until somebody else passes out. And at which point it's done. But no, it's fun. We like having people over. The house is able to accommodate some people. So it's good. It's fun. And it's something I look forward to every year. And by the way, the other thing I was going to say, shout out to for the old people out there who remember this game. Tecmo Super Bowl came out today. I don't know if you remember that game. If you ever played it?
Yeah,
Nintendo.
Yeah.
All right. I am a nerd, and I am not a big video game guy. I still have the original NES console and the game itself. Still play it. And that game was awesome. It was revolutionary. Came out, released today in 1991. And for my money, it is still the best video game ever created. So I'll stand by that. So take that, all you War of Warcraft nerds and all the Call of Duty.
Fortnite. And all
that. Yeah, Fortnite. Yeah, go get lost. Get out of here with all that. It's Tecmo Super Bowl until the end of time. That's all we got. You got your brother's birthday. Cool. Happy birthday to him. Hope he enjoys it. I've got, yeah. You know, I'm going to sit down and play Tecmo Super Bowl in homage, pay homage to the GOAT. And then I got my wife's family. They're having a Christmas party tonight. So a lot to get to here before we head for New York in a week. But until then, for Gilberto Manzano, I am Matt Verderam. Happy holidays to everybody out there or whatever you may celebrate. Enjoy it. Live it up. We will be back next week. To talk all things week 15 and then preview week 16. We are getting really close now to the playoffs. The chase is on. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you again next week.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.